Matthew chapter 5. We've been preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to have communion here in just a little bit and go home. But I want to preach on the hardest passage of Scripture that I've ever tried to live in the Christian life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Again, we're looking at one of these things where it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Boy, ain't that what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to hate your enemy and hate your neighbor too. "But I say unto you, love your enemies." It's hard for me to do. "Bless them that curse you." That's really hard for me to do. "Do good to them that hate you." That's hard for me to do. "Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That's not quite as hard, but not easy. "That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same?" And I want to really kind of key in on verse 47. "And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Lord, help us today to feed the flock of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is the sixth time in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, "Ye have heard." I want to say as a way of introduction this morning, and just going back again, I want to encourage all of you to be careful what you hear. Be careful about what you hear. I have very seldom heard the truth about anything that's ever been told me. Sometimes there might be some truth to it. Sometimes it might be 90%. But, you know, it just takes 1% of poison to ruin a glass of milk. And Jesus has given us one of the greatest lessons in life we'll ever get about being careful about what you hear. And especially allowing it to become part of your belief system. Because it can. What you hear, if you don't sift it through the Word of God, will become part of who you are and what you believe. I want to encourage you to be careful what you hear from preachers. You be careful what you hear from this preacher. You don't take it just because Reg said it. Because I've said some things that wasn't right. I've preached some things I found out later I had to correct. It wasn't in line with Scripture. And I'll tell you, sometimes it took me 4 or 5 years to find out that wasn't right, Reggie. I never had preached what I preached last Sunday right up there above it right in my life till last week. Been wrong about it all my life. Be careful what you hear from preachers. You can grow up a child, and you may have been in church. You may have had some relative or good friend of the family that was a preacher, and he said something one day. You better make sure it follows with the Word of God. It could affect you the rest of your life. Be especially careful, and I'm not here to beat on denominations, but you be careful about what you're hearing, what your denomination teaches and preaches. Because it may not be right. And I do not know of one that's got it all right. I know of many that are far closer to the Scripture than others. But I've seen people stand by the denominational line and go against the Word of God. And I want to encourage you today, because if you don't do this, your belief system will be corrupted and you'll be blinded to truth simply because of what you've heard. Thirdly, I want you to be really careful about books you read. You can hear things through books that will absolutely mess you totally up. One of the things that disturbs me, it seems like every 6 months there's a brand new hot rod book out on the Christian market. I'm going to say something to you, and I say this, and don't nobody get mad at me if you've read it. But I haven't read it, but I've heard enough about it. I just, in my spirit, I can tell it's a mess. Just people telling me what's, and that's The Shack. Isn't there a book out called The Shack? Y'all don't know nothing about it. Bless your hearts. But anything that's communicating with dead people, say, you know, anything that claims to be all that kind of stuff, don't stay away. I'm just going to say something to you. Bookstores sell books to make money. Be careful what you're reading. I have a Scofield Bible I'm preaching out of this morning. It has the authorized version in it. But Mr. Scofield is so off the wall in his footnotes, it's unbelievable. And if I went to Scofield to determine what the Bible was teaching, I'd be an atheistic, agnostic evolutionist today. He doesn't believe Genesis 1, chapter 1. He does not believe Genesis chapter 1. That's a fact, and that'll get you thrown out of a lot of denominational conferences. And I'm just saying that I had to be careful. In Genesis chapter 1, he says that we can't take that to be literal. That must be over all kinds of geological ages that all occurred. That's evolution. And if I believed what some man's writing said, I'd be messed up. Be careful what some pamphlet says, you've heard. Because everybody always passing out pamphlets. Be careful what you're reading in those pamphlets. Let me tell you something. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, are extremely sharp at making statements that sound true and biblical, and they're designed to take your guard down. And you need to know your business, or don't mess with them. They train them in psychological power. How to take your mind and weave their way through and into your mind and beyond and get in where you start believing what they're telling you. And let me tell you one other thing that these cults prey on. And that is bitterness that you've never resolved with your family, with other folks that in your life. They prey on people who've never resolved bitterness because they realize they're mad. I got an email from a guy here a while back. He said, I was a Baptist until I learned the truth from the Church of Christ. And he went on about how that a man opened his eyes to the truth of water baptism salvation. And then he slipped in a little bit about how he was bitter at the people in the Baptist church where he came from. That's why they got him. It wasn't because it was truth. He was bitter. And when you hear stuff with a background of bitterness in you, you're liable to believe it. I want you to be careful what you hear from friends. Be careful what friends tell you. Be careful what family members tell you. You have heard. Grandpa may be a good guy, but Grandpa may not know the Bible. Grandma may be sweet as pecan pie, but Grandma may not know Jesus Christ. And Grandma may know not the doctrines of Scripture. Be careful what, especially, let me say this, be careful what you hear from teachers. More young people are being destroyed by listening to teachers who are playing with their minds than anything I know. What Jesus was doing here, and by the way, Bible teachers, he was taking how the established religious structure of that day had taken Scripture in the Old Testament and twisted it to their own destruction, and even to the point now where they were teaching people to hate. Always remember, Jesus, here's what he would say. Ye have heard, but I say unto you. Now, he's the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There are three that bear record, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And if what you're hearing doesn't agree with this Word, reject it. I didn't say you had to be mad at him. I didn't say you had to hate him. I just said reject it. Outright, reject it. And stand for what you know is right. You need to ask yourself, does it honestly live up to the Bible when its subject is rightly divided and when Scripture is compared to Scripture? Now, what's the difference between what they had heard from their religious leaders and what the Word says? He said there, verse number 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Take your Bibles real quick and we'll do this and get you out of here. Leviticus chapter 19. The question you need to ask is, am I hearing this from the Scripture? Am I hearing it straight? Or is it being twisted? Is it the truth? Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 15. The Bible said, and here the instruction says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Here it is, verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. You know what God is saying there? You're better off to rebuke a neighbor, go to him and express your trouble and your problem with him than to go around secretly hating him. The Bible says that the kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but the wounds of a friend are faithful. You're better off having a neighbor who's honest with you than one who's going around talking about you all over the community. And verse number 18, here it is. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. That's what the Bible had said. It didn't nowhere say in there, hate your enemy. In fact, go to Exodus chapter 23 and God shows you how you're to treat your enemy. Exodus chapter 23, verse number 5 and 6. Let's begin reading at we'll just start at verse number 1. It won't take us long to get down through the Exodus chapter 23. Now, I've been burning for about 8 weeks to preach a message, and I've brought it with me every Sunday. You'd love this. It's a one-page message. I've brought it with me every service. And God hadn't given me liberty to preach it, but you don't want to miss being here when I do. I will turn into a wild man. It'll just be fun to watch the fireworks. All right, verse number 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report, but put thine hand with the wicked to be, put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment or twist it. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. That means that just because he's poor, you don't take up for him just because on that basis alone. Verse number 4. If thou meet who? Thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Now, what's God saying there? How to treat your enemies? God is saying when you see your enemy having trouble, a problem, you don't go, good deal for him. God's paying him back now. He's getting his due. You help him. You help him. I want to show this further in Proverbs chapter 24. This is what the Bible actually taught. It didn't say hate your enemy. In fact of it is, God's saying there's an opportunity. Do you all see what it was there? His ox was out. It was lost. And he had an opportunity to do exactly what Jesus said there, to bless his enemy. How many things would be a blessing for somebody to bring your horse or your cow back to you? This morning, somebody in this church came to me and said, Reggie, we were on our way to church and you had 3 heifers out in the road. And I said, really? Yeah. And they told me about it. I said, well, did you get them back in? Yeah, we put them back in for you. That was a blessing. And you know what? You got a neighbor down there and his cows are out. Don't think about suing him. Think about helping him. And don't think about doing it and trying to get leverage on him. Just do it because it's the right thing to do. Because God wants you to love him. Even if he's your enemy, even if you're having trouble. Now, listen to me. I've been in a situation for about a week and a half. And I told my wife yesterday, I said, man, I'm telling you, it's in this different part of the country. But I'm telling you what, people don't like one another. And the neighbors are all at each other. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you can talk to one neighbor, when they're together, they just act as sweet as pie to each other. But 2 days later, you're talking to that neighbor and they literally tell you how bad they despise them. And then you talk to that neighbor and they begin to tell you all the horrible things about that neighbor. And then you see them get back together again. They're just visiting and smiling. You got problems. And what I'm saying to you is that, listen, it takes work to be a good neighbor. You got to act like it. You got to work at it. You got to make an effort. And God is going to give us opportunities to bless our enemies and bless those people. Let me tell you something. I live right out here 4 miles. I got some people who don't like me worth a flip. And they let me know it. Okay? And I have struggled. This year I had a deal happen, one of the hardest things I've ever happened with a neighbor. And I've struggled with it, but God has kept after me. Reggie, don't blow your gasket. Don't blow your gasket. You're handling this wrong. You just be calm and you look for ways to help them. You look for ways to be a blessing. I literally had to tell one guy, I said, listen, me and your neighbors, we can either be a blessing to each other or we can be a curse. I want to be a blessing to you. But if this keeps up, you're making it impossible. Sometimes you just need to visit with them. I'm honest with you. I went straight to him. I didn't go around the barberry bush. I went straight to him about my problem. And I tried my best. If there was any way to bring reconciliation, I wanted to have it. And I will tell you, it's working. But it's slow. But I'm looking for opportunity. And this is what he's saying. If his ox is out, if his ass is down, recognize that God is trying to give you a chance to show the love of God to them. Can I say that in here in church? When we're down, boy, pick each other up. Help each other up. Anybody in here hadn't sinned this week? Pray for the rest of us. Brother McCullough, I understand you're moving to Oklahoma. Well, I want to tell you, we're going to miss you and we love you. Well, I'm the best God to give you so far. You'll find a better one after in Oklahoma probably, but you find a good church. Oh, okay. All right. But he's going out there to work on a ranch. And I'll tell you, Connie and Paul, they'll be snotting and crying for weeks, but we'll give them handkerchiefs, all right? We'll give them handkerchiefs. But anyway, let's go on to Proverbs 24. I guess I did. Proverbs 24, verse number 17. The Bible said here, boy, this is a good one. I remember, Travis McGowan, are you here somewhere? Travis, you here this morning? Travis, I remember one time when you brought this verse up in a matter. And I've always respected you for that. I remember you saying, you said, Reggie, there's a verse in Proverbs talks about that. And you didn't quote it exactly, but you give the sense of it. It says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. You ought to mark that verse. Now, I'm going to get this thing a little closer to home. How about your competitors? How about the guy that's running against you in office? I've been around a lot of that. I've been around a lot of it. That'd be pretty hard for you just to live up to the Christian standard, wasn't it, when you run from it? Your opponent won? You say, boy, I'm sure glad he won. Kind of hard to do that. Kind of hard to, and things can get rough, but let's talk about your business. I've been in business for 37 years, and I've never been without stiff competition. But you know what? It's never done me a dime's bit of good to hate my competition. Never done me a dime's bit of good to feel ill toward them. And the best thing I can do is wish them well and pray for them and realize they're trying to feed their family too. We like to carve our competitors out as though they're wicked people, don't we? We like to carve them out as being crooks and dishonest and on and on and on we go. We're the straight up ones. We're the ones who do it all right and you can trust. If we're not careful, we're portraying as self-righteous. Let me tell you what it's for. If you're honest in your business, it's only because of the grace of God. Because of what the work Jesus has done in your heart. I'm going to get a little closer to home yet. Over the years, we've had building projects here at the church. And one time, I remember we started this building project right here. I looked over at Dean. I said, Dean, take off on it. Go. Had a family left the church over it. Got mad at me because I just told a guy that. Now, I'm that way. You have to understand that. I've had another time about a project, and I said, Kenny, take it and run with it. I've had another project, I told Don Zinn, take it and run with it. But you can get hurt, and you're wounded, and all of a sudden the person becomes your enemy. I know I'm preaching now, it's quiet as a mouse in here. But you know, I need this. I'm going to give you a question this morning you really need to ask yourself. Is my enemy the enemy of God? Or is he just my enemy? Is my enemy the enemy of the Lord, or is he just my enemy? My family's in the real estate business. Why, there's more real estate people across the country than you could shake a stick at. They're like rabbits. They're everywhere and they're multiplying. I'm going to ask you a question. Are all the other realtors in the country bad people? Who said that? No, they're not bad people. They're not. And so I'm just trying to encourage you today, because you know the truth about it is, it's not the Islamics that we need to worry about this morning. Yeah, they're the enemy of America, okay? But what about the people we live around? Our own family members. God simply says to you and I, because let me tell you something, Jimmy, I'm prone to rejoice when my enemy falls. I'm tend to say, he's getting what he deserves now. How many's ever prayed for God to whoop him out, knock him out? Lord, go get him, take him down. The truth about our enemies, most of the time, they're God's instruments to humble us, to sift us, to break us, and to get rid of our pride. Verse number 18 says, watch this. God says, verse 17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. The enemy may be falling because God's wrath is toward him, but God says, if you laugh about it, and you're glad about it, I'll turn my wrath from him to you. It's not your job to be angry and take wrath out on your enemies. Listen to me. I'll get closer to home yet. There is no group of people in the world who are more at enmity and jealous and mean toward each other than preachers. If you don't know that, you are blindfolded yet. You are in the dark as of yet. Now, is there good fellowship and is there sweet love among many? Yes. But let me tell you something. It's a tough one. I remember one time many years ago when this church was first starting, there was a man who was in this area and he was intent on plowing my ground continually. And he let it be known that he was going to, his focus is to basically knock me out and destroy me. That's just, absolutely the way he came across. I didn't know hardly how to handle a guy. I'm serious, other than just stay away from me. He listened to me. He fell, and he fell hard. He fell so hard he's out of the ministry. But you know, when he fell, God reminded me of this. And let me tell you, the only reason I've not been out of the ministry is because of the good grace of God and the prayers and love of you people. I've had the best in pastoral support in this church. I've had preachers say to me, Reggie, I'd give anything in the world if I had people like you have to back me and stay with me. Yes, sir. And let me tell you something this church did. We bought a very large and very beautiful set of flowers and card and tried to minister to the church that he pastored. And we tried to minister to those people in the dark days of that time instead of kicking them down. And tried to encourage them that there would be a brighter day. Because you know what I knew? It could have been our church. And it could have been this preacher. Proverbs chapter 25, and verse number 21. The Bible said, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Now watch this carefully. It says, for so in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now, that's been taken out of context most of history. That does not mean that you get to take hot coals and pour out on his head and just scald him and burn him good. In Bible days, one of the most gracious things you could do with a traveler coming by that came by your life, and he was traveling in the coal, was to put coals in a pan. They had a pan for it, and he set those upon his head, and he had heat with him. It'd be like having a heater in your car. And it was like saying, listen, we know you're cold and you're traveling, you're on a journey. We want to be a blessing to you so you can stay warm while you're traveling. It never, ever meant. It's been taken out of context. That, you know what I've heard men say? I'll kill them with kindness. Oh, really? Is that our attitude? That we want to kill them with kindness? That we want to be nice to them so God will pour heaps of coals, we pour coals on their head? I always had trouble with that, but I never knew that till I studied that out. What that custom was. If you've ever wanted to do something, it'd be a blessing to you. Get a book. There's books out there called Bible Customs and Manners. And it'll teach you about a lot of when you see phrases like that in Scripture, what that meant in that day and time. And you don't need a new Bible to find that out. Because they won't tell you either. Okay? But what I'm saying to you is that God wants us to do good. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water. If he's hungry, give him food. Be a blessing to him. This is what Jesus is saying. Love your enemies. Bless them. Do good to them. And pray for them. In 2 Kings, don't turn there. I'll do this quick. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha. And I mean, he wasn't known for his cool temperament. Got surrounded by the Assyrian army. You remember he asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant. And he went up there and he prayed the Lord smite that arm with blindness, and God did. And he led them. And he took them up there in a place, and you know what they all said? Let's kill them. They're blind. Let's just whoop them. Let's just knock them out right here. You know what Elisha said? No, no. He said, give them bread and water. And you know what the Bible teaches? If you'll read your Bible carefully, you'll find out that the Assyrians came no more into the land. Because he did good to his enemies. So let's get this thing. Number one, love your enemies. You say, Reggie, how can I love my enemies? Well, the Bible tells you in 1 Corinthians, love suffereth long. Doesn't mean you always, can I say this? Loving people does not mean that you agree with them. It doesn't mean that you approve or whatever. It doesn't mean you're compromising. It means you love them. And loving means to suffer long with them, that you put up with them. You got to do that to be a neighbor. You got to do that to keep your marriage together. Your wife or your husband, by the way, is your closest neighbor. And you got to suffer long with each other. I can promise you, 35 years that woman has suffered with me. If you think it's been easy to live with me, you've lost your mind. I'm going to tell you something. I can be a bear cat. I can have a spell. Ask my kids. I was hearing a guy here a while back preaching. He said something about, you know, you guys said you hadn't sinned. He said, don't you lie to me. I'll have your wife stand up and make you out to be the biggest liar in church. We do sin. But I'm saying this, that we suffer long. How has our marriage stayed together 35 years? By long suffering. By the way, she's not the sweetest thing God ever made, I guess. I don't know. She is to me. But you know what the truth about it is? And she'll say this to me. She says, Reggie, would you just please don't talk about how wonderful I am in church? And I said, well, right now you're not. And the fact of it is, she wishes I wouldn't say nothing about her in church. But the truth about it is, she is a great wife, wonderful wife, most godly woman I've ever known in my life. But I know her better than probably anybody else in the world. But you know what? She's a sinner too, and she needed to be saved by the grace of God just like everybody else. And so I'm just saying, long-suffering, be kind. The Bible says, love, suffer long, be kind. So what's Jesus saying? If you're going to love your enemies, be kind to them. Don't be mean to them. Let me tell you something. The fence is down, offer to fix it. You know, go the second mile. Do what you got to do to be a good neighbor to people. A guy told me yesterday, he baled hay for a guy, agreed. He said, we'll either take half the hay, or he said, well, it'd be $15 if you want to buy my part. Got it all baled up, had his equipment on the guy's place, and the guy said, I ain't paying you. He said, well, you just take half then. He said, I ain't paying you $15 a bale for it. He said, well, just take half the hay then. And the guy said, I ain't paying you $15 a bale. He said, well, that's what we agreed to before I started. And I've bailed it now. He said, I'll give you $10 and get your stinking equipment off my place. He said, Reggie, I paid him $10 and pulled my equipment out and took the hay. How many's ever had a deal like that pulled on you? Well, sure you had. Been around very much, you'll get that on you. And the guy joined him now. The guy was across the fence from his place. He said, needless to say, he said, I don't put up his hay no more. But you know what you got to do once in a while? You got to eat the worm. Sometimes you've got to take it. You've got to suffer along with them, and you've got to be kind. And I'll tell you one of the best things that Karen and I ever did in our life, and I'm sorry to say that I haven't done it more. But one Christmas, we had a little extra money, and we went out and we bought some hams and some so forth, and the girls made some cookies, and we took them around to all of our neighbors. Did you know what it did? It melted a lot of hard ice out there. And to this day, it still helps. And I'm saying that, you know, I've been trying to prepare this message. Like, I can't preach for it eating my lunch because I've not done what Jesus said to do, but it works. It does work. The second thing, bless your enemies. You say, Reggie, how can I bless my enemies? Well, number one, the way you bless is don't speak evil of them. Second of all, encourage them. If they got pretty flowers, say, I love those flowers. Those are nice flowers. Encourage them. Compliment where you can. Congratulate them where you can. And comfort them where you can. Let me tell you something. When your enemy has lost a loved one, or your enemy is going through a hard time, it's a wonderful time to try to minister to them. But be sure you do it with very much grace. Don't try to come in and act like you're taking advantage of their hard time or you're trying to act super spiritual. But minister to them, especially in their hard times. If they've lost a loved one, it's good to take food over to them. Used to, folks, anybody that died in the country, they'd take food to their families. And so minister to them. That's how you can be a blessing to your enemies. And then thirdly, he said, do good to them. Look and wait again for that opportunity to help them when they're down. And then finally, he said, pray for them. And why did Jesus leave prayer as the last thing? Let me tell you why. There are many situations in life where you have an enemy and you can't fix it. You are not going to fix it. And all you can do is pray for them. But you can pray for them. There are situations you're not going to fix. They're not going to receive your homemade bread. They're not going to appreciate your encouragement. And so I'm just saying this to you. When you can, love them. How you can, love them. Do good to them. Bless them. If you can't, if mouth works, pray for them. Because sometimes that's all you can do. One of the last things Jesus said, he said, if you love them that love you, he said, the publicans do that, and everybody didn't, you know, they were like, well, the low end of the spiritual spectrum. He said, watch this one. He said, if you salute those that salute you, what more are you than others? They do that. You know what he's saying? He's saying, be friendly to people, to everybody, whether they're a Christian, a brother, a family member, anybody, be friendly. I know I can't help it, but I've caught myself in recent years. I'm just going to confess my sin. I have been getting hard just gradually over the years. Even here in this town, to the point of where I just decided, you know what, you don't want to wave, I won't wave either. And I'll tell you what, I'm fighting it. And I made up my mind as I studied this, meditating this past Christmas week, Brother Phil, I ain't letting them do that to me. I'm going to keep waving. I'm going to keep smiling. So as you read your house, should we salute people? Number one, acknowledge them. You know, don't just walk by people. Can I encourage you to? Don't just walk by people. They are people. God made them. They're special. Christ died for them. And God, when He puts you by their path, He is giving you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to say that my dad's motivations were pure. But I tell you, my dad knew how to greet people. And when you be out with my dad, he talked to people. I never seen anybody remember people's names like he'd remember them. But he spoke to people. He didn't just let people walk by. He'd give them a card. Vote for me, would you? Your motivation wasn't holy, was it, Daddy? You're getting elected. You want to remember you. But what I'm saying, acknowledge people. You know something? I've caught myself. I do sales. I get out there among crowds and people, you know, and I've watched people. And they're just seeing, they're just checking to see if I'll, you know, they're not going to make the first move. They don't feel like it's really their place to. They just feel like, hey, you know what, Reg, you're in leadership here and so forth, you know. And are you going to think you're somebody big shot? You're too good for me? You see, you don't know what the devil's telling that guy. He thinks he's somebody. He thinks he's a big wheel. And he won't speak to you. You're too beneath him. You think people don't say that about you? You lost your mind. You need to get thinking. And I'm going to tell you what, Satan will whisper to people lies about you. Listen, my wife is not just really, I mean, she's, to me, she's fine, you know, but to a lot of people, she's not outgoing. I've literally had people, you know, years ago, I remember people come in to her and say, well, your wife, she's stuck up, she don't talk. Well, I said, you know, hey, get off that. You don't know her. but she's not like me. But what I'm saying is, none of us can get by with the thing. I mean, how many knows Don Zinn's not bashful? Okay, he's not bashful. But you know, there are people here who just aren't going to go out of their way. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. Be who you are, but acknowledge people. Number two, greet them. Say hi. Say hi. Say, how you doing? Well, I'll tell you something. You don't know what it means to me for you people to say hi to me once in a while. I'm telling you, it means everything. Lord, I've come in here so heavy, so burdened, so down, so and somebody just say, hey, Brother Reggie, good to see you. How you doing? It means everything in the world for somebody. You know what it says to people? I never will forget a woman from, I believe it was Yugoslavia, had migrated over here after the communist Soviet Union broke down. And she said, I could not get over the fact that people would say, hi, how you doing? She said, nobody has asked anybody in Yugoslavia for 70 years, how you doing? Because nobody cares how you doing. And they don't ask. And she said, you Americans say, how you doing? Like, you know, well, I know we don't mean it half the time, but still we say it. We don't care how you doing. We're just speaking. But you know what? It does mean something. So greet people and speak to people. How many knows that on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, after church, sometimes it's kind of hard to get to me? And somebody say, I ain't going to try. There's three people up there already. And how many knows that if I had my way about it, I'd slip out the back door and wouldn't talk to none of you. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's times, you know, because Sunday afternoon is very special with my family. But that's our time. We're around the table. In my opinion, it's a holy time. It ain't just here in church. It's our family time now, especially after the kids are grown and moving out and stuff. I want to be there. I don't want to miss it. Now, I've got a responsibility here. But you know what? I have to watch this thing. Am I going to be friendly to you? Am I going to be, now, if you come up here Sunday after Sunday, after Sunday, after Sunday, and I can tell all you want is attention, you're going to lose me and lose me real fast. And it's your job to make sure nobody else gets a chance to share their burden or say, Reggie, I need this, and you're just going to knock everybody else. You're probably not going to get along and be too good. Anyway, speak to people. And then here's another thing. Wave at them. Now, let's just try this. Everybody, you raise your right hand and just wave. Amen. You know what? How many likes to get waved at? How many shocks you when somebody, who's that? You know, I mean, and if you really want to ruin your enemy's day, smile when you wave. Yeah, see. Now, you don't want to ruin your enemy's day. But anyway, hey. Pull that old flesh, amen. But acknowledge people, greet people, speak to people, wave to people, and smile. Smile. Oh, listen, please. Somebody preached about smiling up here. One of you guys give a lay message. But let me tell you, smiles. You know why people like Frankie Wood? He's got one of the most beautiful smiles in the world. He's ugly as mud, but he's got a beautiful smile. No, he's not ugly, but he has a wonderful smile. I'll tell you what, Frank will speak to you. He'll walk up to you, shake your hand, ask you how you do it, and you believe he's interested in you. And you young boys ought to watch that a little bit. And I want to tell you something. It says volumes about what's going on in the man's soul. And I'll tell you what, I've been condemned and convicted sometimes, but I want to be better at it. I want to do better at it. And be respectful of people. Respect. You're basically, when you acknowledge them, greet them, wave them, smile at them, you're respecting them as a human being. And especially when your enemies see that, they say, man, alive, that's not normal. Usually if I'm an enemy, they won't, they cut you off. Do this at home. I want to say to my daughter, Hannah, where are you at, Hannah? You here today? There you are. Hannah, I still miss you coming down the stairs. I had a lady told me here a while back, she says, what planet did that girl come off of? Said, she's always happy. I said, and it's just about the truth. I mean, she always came down the stairs every morning of her life. Good morning, Daddy. Good morning, Mom. How you doing? Beautiful day out, ain't it? Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful day. But you know something? That's a blessing. It sure beat her coming downstairs. You know, and just wallering to the bathroom and wallering into the table and acting like she's sour on the world. Chip her up, ready to go. Let's have a great day, you know. And I mean, when she called, Daddy, I love you. I mean, she won't get off the phone set without saying, Daddy, I love you. And I'm just saying, you know, that at home, we ought to get up in the mornings and greet our family members. Tell our kids good morning. Don't just walk by each other right there in the same house. And at church, And I think you folks are awful good at it, and I appreciate it. And at work, I thought about work, and I was thinking about this message. We got men who work there in the shop, and, you know, those men have problems. They're like everybody in the world. They have struggles that come along their life. And there's days when I walk through there, and I don't want to say nothing. You know, I'm just maybe something. I'm real busy. But you know what I think? And I've seen it over and over again. I think you boys agree with this. If you just walk over and say, hey, how you doing? They've got that welding helmet on. They're sitting there frying bacon. There it's hot. But you just take time to say, how you doing? Appreciate the work you do around here. Makes all the difference in the world. I want to give you all a good piece of advice that my boys did. I think it's a good thing if you're an employee. About twice a year, they'll have a big fish fry and a big feed right out there in the yard. And they'll say, you know, we're just going to feed everybody today. Don't worry about working. Y'all just come with or whatever. Yeah, I think they still work. But anyway, they feed them. You know something? And I'm not saying that to puff them up. I'm just saying that I am trying to learn to be communicative. Salute people. Acknowledge their hard work. We're going to do a lot better by encouraging the people that we work with and telling them we appreciate the good that they've done and telling them every little tenth thing they did that's wrong. Is Jake here? I got there. You don't have to stand up, okay? But Jake, you've been a blessing to me. He's a pretty hard worker. I'll say pretty hard. But he's got a lot of skill. He's smart. He's learned a lot of stuff. I told him a while back, I said, Jake, all I did is milk cows, buck hay bales, and brush hog. And he'll look at me and he'll say, you're so dumb you don't know how to wire the simplest wire thing, Reggie. You don't know how to do nothing. You don't know how to weld. And I said, Jake, that's why you have a job. I don't know how to do nothing either. You know? But you know something? We try to encourage each other. And there's days when I don't feel good and am I patient, Jake, or not? And him and another guy that works for me, I'll come back here and I think, you know, and they'll just say, Reggie, you know, you just need to be patient. And I say, No, we don't do it. But, you know, they do. We talk about it. You know, and I try to learn off those guys. And I'm going to tell you something else. You can't do what you're doing without the people that's helping you. Amen. Well, and when we're on the road, let's wave to each other. Let's determine not to let the hurts and the wounds and the misunderstandings and the disagreements and the wrongs and the wounds. And I wrote these four things down. Let's don't let that stuff take the smile off our faces, the joy out of our heart, the wave off of our hand, and the hello off of our lips. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that will have friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Y'all know who he is, don't you? The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for putting up with me one more time. And I'm going to tell you all a little something. If I have my way about it here in a week or two, I'm taking that little beautiful woman over there and I'm heading somewhere. And we'll be gone for one Sunday. But it's going to be a week here and a week there. Sunday in the middle. I think anyway. And I told her, I said, you tell me where you want to go and we'll go. Unless it's to Iraq or someplace like that. But we'd rather go. Boy, I tell you, she's been a good wife. I'll tell you, you talk about a blessing and a blessing to me. But we're going to take off a little bit for our 35th and just be gone. I need it. And they'll be shouting out around the shop. The guys will all shout and say hallelujah and stuff like that. But I want to tell the church I love you. I appreciate you. The biggest thing I appreciate is you loving me when it was not easy to love me. Let's go. Lord, thank you for this day. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I didn't want to come to church this morning. But Lord, I learned a long time ago, go when you don't feel like going. I want to thank you, Lord, for the healing in my heart and my soul that you've done while I've been here. And Lord, I pray for our brother Tom's story right now. Lord, he needs your touch. He needs your hand. He needs your help today. And Lord, I pray for him. I lift him up before you, God. I pray for Sister Harriet that you'll encourage her in this time. Lord, help our church family. And Lord, we want to ask you one more time that you'd heal Brother Landon and Sister Rachel's home and family. And God, please do it. I pray, oh God, show these young folks you can do it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you all tonight. Thank you for being here.